Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
If you have your Bible, I want to direct your attention as we begin this morning. And we are going to do a little bit of bouncing around. That's not the typical approach, but we have to cover this topic. But you can go to Luke chapter 5, kind of be pre-positioned there as we'll begin in just a moment. Through this month of September, we have been looking at this series we've entitled Step Up to Your Next Spiritual Adventure. And we've been using some terms which are not new to many of you because we use them semi-frequently. But we believe and honestly believe, and if you want to be a growing, thriving person that is a follower of Christ, these activities, I believe, and we believe, are just have to be in place. Number one was go to church. We need to be plugged into this local church, part of God's family, serve in that context. We need to get busy. We need to serve. We use our gifts, our opportunities, our talents, our time to serve God together. Last week, Pastor Adam shared with you a message where he covered the get in a group. We need each other. We need to work cooperatively. We need each other to grow and be who we need to be. So today we want to continue that, but I want to start with a feeling today. I want to give you a feeling. I want to create a feeling, and I want to start with we were on vacation last week. So over the last weekend, this is the folks that Julie and I were with. We had all of our children and their spouses, all three of our children, their spouses, and our eight grandchildren, and now we have one foster grandson as well. So there were 17 of us under one roof. And we live to tell about it, too. So nine children under the age of eight. So it was a lot of fun. But we planned this. We do this every other year. That's been our rotation, if you will. And we began actually planning, getting this week set aside and making the arrangements. My wife started all the way back in January to make sure everybody has it on the date that we got the place that we wanted to all be together and all that sort of thing. And we look forward to it. And you know this feeling. People that you love and you don't get to see too often, maybe it's a grandchild or a special friend or a brother or parents or whatever, and you suddenly you're with them and you're like, oh, I can't wait to be in the presence of this person. You know that feeling? Can you bring it up? Well, that's what we felt, but I want to suggest to you that that's how we should feel when we step into God's presence. Here's the lover of our souls. Here's our Lord, our Savior, our Maker, our Sustainer, the one we're going to spend all eternity with. We should just have that same feeling. And today I want to talk about this, that we need to step up to daily worship, that we need to step up and be with God and spend this time with God. And Jesus is going to be our example. And we're going to look at five places in Scripture where Jesus does exactly what we are talking about. And we're going to look at that. And we're just beginning with this idea. Jesus' example shows us the necessity of time alone with God. And that's the fourth one of these G's. Go to church, get busy, get in a group, and get alone with God. And I want to encourage you. Now, for some of you, I know this is part of your daily routine. And for you, I just say, keep going, keep it up. For some of you, and this is okay, for some of you, a time alone with God to pray and to spend time in God's Word, that might be something that's totally new to you. Maybe you're new to the faith, or that's never been part of your life. I want to encourage you to take a first step this morning and make that a part of your life, just to have that enjoyable experience every day, stepping into the presence of someone you love. And for most of us, probably we're somewhere in the middle. And I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to me as well. Because maybe you're doing okay, but maybe you're hit and miss. Or maybe time in God's Word and prayer has just become routine. Just check it off the to-do list and move on to other things. If nothing else, I want to reignite in my heart and in your heart this morning as we look at the Lord Jesus, just that this is a privilege, this is a joy. This is what God just should draw our hearts to do, that every day, carve out some time to get alone with Him. So if you'll go to chapter 5, Luke's chapter 5, and go down to verse 15. And we're going to look at five of these, and all of these occur in different contexts of what was going on in Jesus' life. And we're going to use those contexts to talk about some similarities with these sorts of things that go on in our life. But there's one common denominator you're going to see in all five, and you begin to see it in today's first reading. However, the report went concerning Him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. We'll say it this way. Get alone with God in times of great success. Things are going well. Things are just everything's humming along, firing on all cylinders. Everything's just smooth. Now, I know for some of you that's a long way from where you are, but if that happens to be where you are this morning, I want to encourage you that we need to get alone with God. Now, with Jesus, I mean, is that not the picture of success? Multitudes are coming to hear him. They're coming to hear God's word. They're coming to encounter Jesus. And it says they came together to hear him, and they were coming to be healed, and Jesus healed them of their diseases and their afflictions. Everything is going good. Remember, we looked at that when we talked about a few weeks ago, when we talked about get busy or serving. You remember when Peter's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus healed her and she serves, and the crowds were just pressing in. And you remember he goes off into a place alone, and the disciples are out looking for him. They're hunting him down. And finally they tell him, everybody's looking for you. Well, what does he do in that context? Verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. In the midst of his success, the Lord Jesus, rather than pressing toward the success, began stepping backwards, withdrawing from the crowds and the opportunities and the accolades, shall we say it, even the fame. And what does he do? In the midst, when everything's going well, he settles into some time alone with God. Now, as he stepped into God's presence, it says into the wilderness where he's away from everybody else. He withdrew into the wilderness. He's praying. He's praying there to his heavenly Father. Now, you and I, we have to understand this. We cannot fully appreciate or fully understand the relationship of God the Father with God the Son, because it is unique and not one that we can fully enter into. But Jesus had some advantages upon us. Even in that advantage of having this perfect relationship with God, he still saw the necessity to spend time with God. And I'll probably just say it now. This goes without saying. If Jesus felt the necessity to spend some time with God, what about the rest of us? What about our need to spend some time with God? But he had this perfect relationship. There was never any fracture in that relationship. There was never any grief. There was never any conflict. There was never anything bad ever happened. It was a perfect union between God the Father and God the Son. They were united. They were one. And in the mystery of this triune God, how can we ever fully appreciate that? But we accept what the Scripture teaches. But he had this perfect relationship. Now, you and I, in our track record, do not have a perfect relationship with God, because we have had conflict. We have had fracture. We have had those moments that we have disobeyed the will of our Father. The Bible is very blunt in telling us our condition. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of sin, we are separated from God. So the first step for all of us, many of us have already taken that first step, but the first step for all of us is we have to establish this relationship with God through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you're ready to start a relationship with Jesus, we encourage you to believe in Jesus. We become one of his children through faith in Jesus' work on the cross. What separates us from God is sin. The only thing that can cover, pay, deal with sin is death. Jesus died in our place so we don't have to eternally. And he calls us to believe in that. If you want to talk to somebody about your relationship with the Lord or what that means, or you want to hear what God's Word says, or maybe you just got some questions, you say, I got to have these questions answered first. We'll try our best to take the Word of God and give you the answers as best we can. Have that conversation. Or I would encourage you, there's a link right there on your sheet. It says calvarywv.com/start. And there's about a 5-minute video presentation just as our best effort to try to tell you how you can receive this greatest gift that God could ever give you. And I encourage you to watch that and consider that. And by the way, that'd be a good resource that you could pass on to someone else. So maybe if you're here this morning, you need to step up to faith and come to the Lord in faith. Because that's what Jesus was operating on, this relationship that drew him into these times to withdraw from everyone else and draw into the presence of God and to pray. An example for us to follow. Turn the page over to chapter 6 of Luke. Luke chapter 6, go down to verse 12. Secondly, we need to get alone with God in times of decision. And you see that on display in these verses. It says in verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And now we all feel like failures in our prayer life. And let's just face it, I don't think there's ever been a believer that feels completely that they have arrived in their prayer life. This is something we all need to work on. And maybe this is just God's nudge to you this morning, a nudge to me this morning to dial it up, to turn up the frequency and turn up the volume of this whole concept of praying and spending time alone with God. Now, it's not just praying all night for some casual purpose, but you see what happens in verse 13. And when it was day, he's prayed all night. As soon as day breaks, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. This was a time of decision. There was a greater group of disciples following Jesus, but there was the moment when the 12 were going to be called, selected, and we know that this designation of apostles comes later. And we know the role, the vital role that they played in spreading the gospel and seeing the church expand in those days, and it continues to expand all of these centuries later. And it all goes back to their early ministry. So this was a time of decision, and how that all played out, I don't know, but he saw it as a necessity to spend all night praying before this momentous moment of decision was upon him. It would probably boggle our minds if we could ever calculate how many decisions we make in a day's time or in a week's time. We have decisions about everything. It's one of the things that's sort of bothersome about the modern society. We have too many decisions. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, we just had an antenna on top of the house. I'm old, okay? An antenna on top of the house, and you got three channels. So that was TV. Now you can stream this and buy this and download that and cook up that and get it from here, and I'm so confused. But then there's all these decisions about how we're going to order our life. These decisions about right, wrong, yes, no, forward, reverse, what we're going to do, all the things that press in upon us. And we need to be people who come before God and spend time alone with him. We need to bring the questions to him, the decision points to him. Lord, I need to know which way to go. And I would suggest we do it this way. After you've made a preliminary decision, go back and say, Lord, this is the way I'm going. But if I'm missing something, will you help me put on the brakes, or will you help me redirect? Just bathe it. Just swarm it with prayer when we have decisions to make. And just pray that. Now, sometimes we don't have time for the decision's upon us, and we can't say, I'll pray tomorrow and all night or whatever. We've got to have a decision now. But the Lord will honor even those whispered emergency prayers that we can send up. And God honors that. You remember Peter when Jesus was walking on the water, and we'll be near that passage here in just a bit. But he says, Lord, if you will, tell me, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat and begins walking on the water until the scripture says he saw the wind. Suddenly he's not living by faith, but he knows where he's at. And he begins to sink, and he prays what is probably the shortest prayer in the Bible. Three words, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls him up and brings him to the boat safe. God answers those panic ER emergency 911 kind of prayers. And nothing wrong with it. Use them. Use that to your advantage. But also there needs to be, as Jesus is the example here in verse 12, those times where we just pull apart and we pray. And we spend time alone with him. Now, go, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to bounce back between Mark and Luke here for a while. But Mark chapter 6. It's the book that immediately precedes Luke, so you shouldn't have too much trouble finding it. Mark chapter 6. And make your way down to verses 45 and 46 in this chapter. And again, this is that walking on the water passage. If we read far enough, we're not going to cover that this morning. It says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida. And while he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. In those times of our need, as we need to get alone with God. Get alone with God in our times of need. Well, what is the need? Well, the story right before, if you go back up to verse 30, Jesus fed 5,000 men, and then there's three groups, two of which are unnumbered, the women and children. So it could easily have been 10,000 to 15,000 people that had a meal provided by Jesus thanks to the generosity of one little boy's lunch. So the miraculous feeding of the thousands. They had a need, by the way. They're all going to need to eat lunch again tomorrow. So the needs of humanity that God has obligated himself to be involved in are always on display. So he had his needs. He has the needs to get the multitudes dismissed. He has the needs to get the disciples where they're going to be and so forth. And everywhere Jesus was, he was surrounded by needs. Everywhere you and I are, we are awash in the needs of ourselves, those that we care for, and those that we live among. People have needs. How do we handle that? How do we do that? What's he do? He took time, even in the midst of all that press of doing good things, to get away and to spend some time alone with God. Now, let me just say a couple things as we're stopped at this location. First of all, we usually define our time alone with God as a time that we would do daily, that we set it apart, where we spend some time reading God's Word, studying it, and then spend some time praying. Okay? Prayer usually revolves into three categories. We pray for the needs of ourselves and others, asking God for things. We praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for those things He's done for us. And then a third category was, if need be, we need to confess our sins to Him. So confession, praise, and requests. So it says he prayed, but where do you see Jesus interacting with the Word of God in this passage? Every passage we look at, it says he prayed, he prayed, he prayed, he prayed all night. Well, you have to understand, and I'm going to suppose a little bit, but I think it's entirely proper. One of the things that Jesus didn't have physically in those days was access to a Bible that he could carry around. He couldn't pull, like you can, and some of you are right now, pull out your phone and pull up your Bible app. In their world, if you wanted to access the Word of God in this kind of a setting, you would either go to synagogue on Sunday and have it taught and preached and explained, and the rest of the time, it was what you had committed to memory primarily as a child. In this day of Jesus, and we assume he was no different, that you would go up to about age 12 or so, you would go to synagogue school. The children were sent to a school at the synagogue in their local community, and one of the major activities was learning large amounts of Scripture and memorizing it and hiding it in their hearts. Now, we could say a lot about that and the benefit that would be for us, but the point I'm making is, I think when he prayed, he was meditating and reacting and going over those Scriptures that were in his mind and in his heart. And I think that's how they interacted. So I want to just make sure you understand. We talk about prayer over and over again, but I think there is this component of the Word of God in play in this place. That God calls us to spend time in His Word. But in times of need, I want to just focus on that for just a moment, and praying for each other. You know, when we have something very significant and very scary, very unsettling occur in our life, and when you're on the receiving end of people praying, it's a magnificent, wonderful, blessed thing, isn't it? To know that people are praying for you. And I want to just give you an opportunity. It's the second box on your sheet in the back. We've tried to create a way to urgent needs, serious needs, something's happening you want people to pray for, how we can get that word out. And it's as simple as this. We keep an email list. This particular list, we don't use it for anything else, okay? You're not going to get anything else from it except prayer requests. But if you give us your email address, when an urgent request comes to the church, we send you an email, and you get it in your email box asking you to pray for a person or whatever the need is. And if you would be interested in this, and you would think about this and consider it, is basically all you need to do is send an email to, and the email is listed at office@calvarywb.com, and it would really helpful if you put in the subject line prayer team. That just helps us kind of sort those out when they come. All we'll do is collect your email and we'll add you to the list. And you may go 2 or 3 weeks without a request. You might get 2 or 3 in a day. It just depends on what's needed. But here's the important thing. Whenever you receive an email, please pray immediately for the person's need that has been sent. You're making a commitment not just to give us an email. You're not making a commitment just to get an email. It's not a commitment just to know what's going on. You're making a commitment that when you receive that request that you would stop, as maybe just a brief moment, but stop right then and pray for that need, because that's what we need. We don't need information disseminated, although that helps us pray, but it has to be disseminate the information, and we are people who pray about those needs. Maybe that's a ministry God could give you that maybe you're even unaware that we had, but I would encourage you to consider that. It'll be a great step up in prayer to be able to take advantage of that. Go to Luke chapter 9. All these are going to sound rather familiar, just the setting is different because Jesus' activity is consistent throughout. And if nothing else, I hope you will be impressed by the number of times it says in Scripture that Jesus, in the midst of whatever's going on, he found time to get away and spend some time with his heavenly Father. Luke chapter 9, if you go down to verse 18. Another kind of familiar setting, if you will. And it happened as he was alone praying. We'd almost be tempted to skip over that, because what happens next is really intrigues us. That his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets has risen again. But Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. This is Peter's great confession. And that's very significant, very important. But notice the context it begins in, verse 18. It happened as he was alone praying. It was in that context that the question came up. And it's within the context of our questions that we should be driven to this wonderful opportunity that we have to just come into God's presence and spend some time with our Father, to enjoy that feeling, that emotion, that experience. So get alone with God in times of questions. Do you have a list of questions? Do you have a list of questions that you probably doubt in this life you're ever going to get answers to? There's some things that we just, it's just big and beyond our finite minds that we can't understand. But then there's those things like, why did that happen? Why didn't you answer prayer in a way that I would have chosen? Why didn't you stop that? Why did you allow that? We have all these questions. And it's all right to have questions. I can't answer those questions specifically, and sometimes God in his wisdom veils them from our eyes, but I do know this. No matter what the question, our God is always the answer. He's always the answer. And he knows the answer, even if he chooses not to reveal them to us. And he will sustain us, even with our questions that we cannot answer. Run to him. Don't withdraw from him. There's so many people that, unfortunately, you know them. You've encountered people. Maybe we've been some of these people where something happens that greatly disappoints us in life, that hurts us, and we rather than just dealing with that hurt by drawing to God, we allow that hurt to repel us away from God. We do that to our own peril. I love it that even in this moment of questions, and I mean, this is the question. Is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God? Is he God in the flesh or is he not? I mean, that's an essentially important question. And in the midst of that, he's been praying, spending time with his heavenly Father. Draw near to him. Spend time with him. Encounter him. It's as simple as this, and I don't think I could make this complicated if I tried. I think if we want to be growing, believing, thriving Christians, growing in our faith, we need to reserve time to spend some time with God every day, some time listening to his word from the Bible and listening, letting him listen to our requests and our praises back to him in prayer. Now, thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for the generosity that you give to come and we study the Bible for a while together. I hope you enjoy this as a somewhat satisfying spiritual meal. But I do know this. You need a spiritual meal on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day of the week as well. And so do I. And I want to encourage you to spend some time with God daily. Get alone with God. There's one more I want to take you to. It's in Mark chapter 14. Again, a familiar setting, but sometimes we miss what is going on in the setting, which is the common denominator in all these passages. Mark chapter 14, go down to verse 32. And as soon as I read one word in this verse, you're going to know exactly the context. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. If you're a student of Scripture, you know that name. That was this garden near Jerusalem where Jesus went to pray. You also know that if you track this on down, this is the place where he is betrayed by Judas. This is the place where he's arrested. This is the place where he's abandoned by all of the rest of the disciples. This is the place that begins the staccato of events that's going to lead to his trial and his condemnation, his trial before Peter, his being led to Golgotha and being nailed to a cross and crucified. So we're right in that context. Then he came to the place which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. get alone with God in times of trial and temptation. And he prays this wonderful prayer, and it's not our purpose today to delve into the depths and the mystery of that prayer, but I just want you to see that he prayed. And Jesus says later, he comes back, and remember, he finds the disciples sleeping rather than sitting there watching, being with them. And he says in verse 38, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Those words were not just spoken to those 11 disciples. Those words were spoken to all of us as disciples. Watch and pray. Because we are surrounded by temptation. We're surrounded by opportunities to go astray. We need to be people of prayer. And in this time of great stress, you see the Lord Jesus doing what? Getting away from everybody else and spending time alone with God. There's actually other passages we could go to. That's all we're going to take time for. But do you not see the common denominator? Now, I want to just give you something practical today as we go forward. Let me get a couple things at the ready here. For many of you, you've established a devotional life and a pattern of time alone with God. I just want to encourage you to keep going. Don't take it as something unimportant. Take it as something essential. Enjoy that feeling of being with God. Enjoy it. Thrive in it. Keep going. But maybe you're here this morning and this is something new to you. But there's a couple of resources that we make available to you I just want to point out. One is this little book that many of you are familiar with, maybe for many years, called Our Daily Bread. It's produced quarterly. We put stacks of them out, and they all go away, or most of them go away, so I know you use them. But this is 3 months of devotions. This particular one is started in September, so it's basically a third of the way through. And you're welcome to take one. It just has a different scripture reading every day, some thoughts from the Word of God, and some things to help you pray. If you're doing that, or if you'd like to try that, I think there's a few still around. There's one right here if you want to get it, so I'll leave it right there. But use that. There's another resource that we have encouraged you to try. And here's the print form of it called Today in the Word, produced by Moody Bible Institute. It's a little different because it's a little more in-depth Bible study. Because for this is the one that starts October 1st. But this whole month of October is going to be a study from the book of Exodus. The study in September has been a study from the book of Psalms. So if you want something that's thematically put together, a little deeper Bible study, you can do that. Now, you can order it directly from them. You can actually get this directly from them, and they'll send it to you. If you're having them send it to you, I would encourage you to every once in a while put a generous donation in the mail because this costs them money to do, so that would be a good thing. But you can also get particularly this one online. And you'll see on the back page of your sheet there where it talks about Step Up to Daily Devotion. There's a website. You can get it by email or just go to the website and you can get the devotion every day. And I encourage you to try it. And here's my challenge to you. If you're new to a life of time alone with God, I want to challenge you. Starting today for the next 7 days, the big thing about starting is just start. Just begin. Just start. Now, if you're not connected to the internet and that's not your thing, we're going to make this... This is excuse proof, okay? We've printed out the next 7 days in a sheets like this, taken directly from Today in the Word. Pastor Tim will have some back at the back. There's some on that table. I'll put some over there. Just pick one up, and they're already, your next week is preloaded for you, okay? And if you've already got something that's working for you, I'm not saying you need to switch. Keep going. But if you need to get started, we want to make every opportunity available. By the way, Today in the Word is at the bottom of every page of our website. You can click the link just daily, and you can go on and get them. It is essential. And we started with this idea. Jesus' example throughout all these passages shows us the necessity of time alone with God. If you have been a follower of the Lord that have practiced that, you know what a difference it makes in your life. If you are new to this, you will be amazed at what a difference it will make in your life. So I challenge you, start today and get started. And I just simply ask you this, make this statement, I should say. It's simply this. Get started with a daily time with God.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.